Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is 8 o'clock. It's Thursday evening. This is LA Talk Radio, and you are listening to The Writer's Block. I'm your host, Jim Christina, in studio tonight with the wonderful, vivacious, and oh-so-handsome Russ Avison.
Boy, this is the first time you hit it on the mark.
I know. I'm telling you, it's really, really cool. And Russ no longer has problems with Ventura County.
No, and so they better watch it now because I'm prepared for retribution.
So this is what I'm going to give Russ.
Thank you.
Okay. We have, of course, Henry Park will be calling in here in just a moment as soon as his phone number pops up on screen. And we have two great people in the studio tonight, and it should well, here he is right here. So let's see what Henry has to say. Henry Park.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, my friend?
Well, I'll tell you, we've got some really cool news. Tomorrow, something very significant is happening.
Which is?
When Jane Got a Gun opens. Starring Natalie Portman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
There's going to be three major westerns, Jane, The Revenant, and The Hateful Eight, in theaters at the same time. When's the last time that happened?
Never.
Yeah, I was trying to think, 40 years ago or more?
Maybe.
Yeah. And I've got some very interesting things coming up in Sunday's Roundup. I'll be looking at a new Euro-Western shot in Spain that's in post-production now, The Price of Death. It's co-written and directed by Danny Garcia, who co-wrote last year's very entertaining Six Bullets to Hell. And he's also a writer and producer on the soon-to-be-film Thou Shalt Kill. They're shooting them in the same locales and western streets where Sergio Leone's Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns were shot. And I've interviewed Danny and one of the stars of all three pictures, Crispian Belfrage, who incidentally did two westerns in the U.S., but starring Terrence Hill, who starred with Bud Spencer in all of those Trinity Westerns. And they both have a lot to say about making Westerns in Spain, and they're really creating a stock company of cast and crew with these films, almost like the old Hollywood studio system.
Hmm.
And I'm also going to be reviewing a very interesting and rarely seen Western from 1947, The Prairie, which Alpha Video has just brought out on DVD.
It's based
on the James Fenimore Cooper novel, and directed by the German expressionist director Frank Weisbar, who fled the Nazis in 39. It's a very unusual, very Germanic-looking Western about a family who loses their Kentucky farm in 1803 and heads west. And one of the really unusual things about it for its time is how many actual Indian actors play Indians in it. No Italians, no Armenians.
What? Real Indians?
Yeah, we've got the Lone Ranger's Jay Silverheels. You've got Chief Thundercloud. You've got Chief Yowalachi. Incidentally, Chief Thundercloud was the first Scream Tonto back in 1938.
Didn't he hang out at Corriganville?
I'm sorry. What about?
Didn't he hang out at Corriganville with Ray Corrigan?
Oh, with Crash Corrigan.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. They were very tight. I understand.
Yeah. Okay. Next.
Okay. Oh, and I've got a book review. First time I've ever reviewed a coloring book.
A coloring book?
A coloring book. Well, you know, coloring books have become very popular with adults. And this one, Hollywood Goes West, from artist and author Mark O'Neill and publisher Bear Manor Media, is great fun. He's a very talented caricaturist. And you can color in the portraits of big stars like John Wayne, Alan Ladd, Kirk Douglas, TV stars like Chuck Connors and James Garner, you know, people who were never in color before, but now you can make them that way. And great character actors like Jack Palance, Morgan Woodward, Jack Elam. Did you ever think you would be able to color Jack Elam?
No.
I didn't think so.
I never even thought about coloring Jack Elam.
I wouldn't get that close to him.
No, me either.
But, hey, you know what career did Jack Elam and Lee Van Cleef, two of the screen's greatest villains, share before becoming actors?
They were accountants.
Absolutely right.
Whoa, well done, Jim.
Who knew that?
Apparently, you did. Yes.
Fun fact.
I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you.
I'd come up with a stumper.
I knew Jack Elam had been an accountant.
Right. Yeah, they both had. Those strange eyes are for both of them were really good for looking at all those little numbers, I figure.
I met Lee Van Cleef one time when it was right out of high school, and I was working at a Taco Bell, and he came in to eat. And I was a big fan of the Clint Eastwood movie, so when he came in, I was like, whoa. Yeah, man, that's pretty awesome.
Sounds very cool.
Do a little tongue dragging there, Russ?
I don't know. I just remember he was missing half of one of his fingers. And I don't remember which one it was, but he was missing a finger. Yeah, probably that one.
We have our guests in here are giving you high fives, Henry.
excellent. Well, now, last week, you know, we had our giveaway of tickets for the Butch Cassidy and the Sundance
Kid
screenings from TCM and Fathom and 20th Century Fox and all. And I think I had a pretty good question to answer on that one. Let's see how you do on this.
Okay.
Butch Cassidy and the Wild Bunch both came out in 1969, and they were about the same people. You know, one calls them the Wild Bunch, the other calls them the Hole in the Wall Gang, but the same gang.
Right.
The question is, what actor is in both films?
What actor is in both films? Strother Martin.
Yes. Oh, I'm proud
of
you.
Man, Jim.
What?
We should all leave.
Why are you looking at me like that? I could do this show by myself. I could ask the questions and answer the questions.
I remember Strother Martin's great line in Butch Cassidy, which was he would sit on the horse and he'd go, damn it. Do you remember that? He would spit and he'd be, bingo.
I'm working with morons.
Yeah.
How many times have we all said that?
Every day.
Yes. Oh, now, something coming up soon this Sunday, January 31st, they're doing something very special at Rancho Camulas near Piru, way out in the desert.
Okay.
Back in 1882, author Helen Hunt Jackson was visiting there just between trains while she was planning her novel that would define her career, Ramona. She decided to set her novel at the Rancho, and it's been known as the home of Ramona ever since. It's about the doomed romance of a young Spanish lady and her Indian boyfriend and how their world turns upside down when California becomes part of the United States. And on Sunday, they'll be reenacting her visit and recreating the whole world there the way that she saw it. And there's going to be all kinds of entertainment and food presentations. And they may even show the 1910 version of the movie, Ramona, that D.W. Griffith shot at Ramona, at the ranch, with Mary Pickford.
Oh, wow.
And the whole thing's only $5. I mean, that was a good deal back when they were still paying in pesos there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Monday, February 1st, is the last day to register if you want to attend the High Chaparral reunion at Old Tucson Movie Ranch in Arizona this March, which is, you know, right where they filmed, but they still have the manor house and a lot of the buildings. And Don Collier, Rudy Ramos, and Barbara Luna from the show are going to be there. And so Laramie and Wagon Train star Robert Fuller, Darby Hinton from Daniel Boone, and Roberta Shore from The Virginian. And if you check out in the roundup, you can see how you can get a free live webcast of the entire event.
Oh, well, so why go?
Don't tell them that. Last year, they did it for the first time, and they charged quite a bit of money, but they like $75 or something to watch it, and they decided they wanted to be nice to all the people who couldn't make it, so they're just doing it for free.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Henry, I hate to cut you short, but we got some stuff to get on the air.
Wait, I have one last question.
Wait a minute. Russ got another question.
I got one last question for you, Henry. Have you heard any more about the making of Westworld and where they're at with it?
No, I've got some feelers out to some people. I know some folks that are on it, but I'm waiting for people to get back to me.
You going to drop it on him, Russ?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
We actually have someone who's affiliated with the program sitting in the studio, but lips are sealed.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know anything.
Oh,
she knows nothing. All right, we got
to
go.
Right. Well, it's great to talk to you guys, and look me up at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
There you go. We'll talk soon, Henry.
Thanks, Henry. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Be good.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we want to let you know that the Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing, Simi Valley, and by Out West Boutique and Culture Center in Newhall. And as a matter of fact, that's where Bobby Jean is tonight with the Out West concert series. And our friend Jim Jones is performing there tonight. So if you're not here, you should be there. And, but if you're not listening to us, why?
We should do a show from there.
We should.
That would be fun.
Oh, go out there and kind of steal her thunder.
I'm on. Oh, tell her.
I'm there. I'm there. Okay, and we also have another sponsor, which is Target Freight. We'll be getting to them in just a moment. And we're going to now go into
Hey, y'all. I'm Buddy Jones. This is where I used to live. Three mobile homes all within yelling distance of one another. And in the back corner sits my little Airstream trailer. I'd do anything to stay close to my family, even if it means being a ghost. Hee-haw!
Hee-haw! Well, that little bit of audio was brought to us by my past co-host Jillian Boyd and her writing partner Mark Edgar Stevens. And that's from a new show called Welcome to Our Mansion. Welcome to the Writer's Block.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, we're glad.
Great having you here. Oh, and if you want to call in and talk to Jillian or Mark, the number here is 818-602-4929. Okay.
Well, welcome, guys.
Actually, calls. I know.
If you get a call,
all hell breaks loose.
We had one person here that got like six calls one night.
And Jim's like, I don't know how to handle these.
No,
guys.
I handle them all, but it was all frenzies.
Oh. Well, they have no friends, so we don't have to worry
about
that.
There you go. No, the two friends I have are sitting in the studio with
them. That's right. This is it.
All right. So besides, I mean, Jillian, first of all, I got to say it's so nice to be back here with you. Yeah, we did, what, 4.5 years together of Atomic Dog Radio.
Dogs. We talked
right here.
On Thursdays at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. That's right.
In this studio.
And we got kicked out because Jim came and said, I want to do a spot here. Okay.
Yeah, you guys want to do it. And goodbye, Atomic Dog Radio.
So let's start out by talking about Welcome to Our Mansion. What is this deal?
What is this deal? Go ahead and give them the skinny.
Okay, so Welcome to Our Mansion is the story of Paul Jones. And Paul Jones is a New York City behavior therapist who just at the moment that his father dies is forced to return to the craziness of his family's somewhat uncouth
mobile home estate.
You're being so polite.
I think we should say it's a pilot. We shot the pilot of this, and it's set amongst Central Florida and the swamps and pasture lands and humidity. Mm. And it's all centered around Paul's family, the Joneses, and they are surrounded by trailer parks on all sides. So there's this little mobile home estate, as they call it, of their land, and then all of a sudden around them, trailer parks have built up, which is much to their chagrin.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that you will see as we continue on with this project, is you'll see all of the problems that come up from them wanting to hold on to their place and hold on to their mobile home estate for everything that's starting to crowd in and around them.
Yes, and there is no good communication. Their grace is lacking. It's chaos at all times with the family.
People have said white trash. We try not to use that word.
We say country. They're more country because a lot of times when people say white trash, they're thinking of gun toting, beer drinking, and this family isn't that.
Well, one of them is a gun toting, for sure.
That's true. Mamaw is, but as far as like rednecky, they're more country than you would think rednecky.
Yeah,
I think the closest. How about unrefined? Unrefined country.
How about Floridian? That usually covers it.
Yes, someone was let out of one of the asylums at some point.
But
Paul, he's struggling. He's forced to return there, and he's struggling now that his big city lifestyle is in a ruin, which you find out at the beginning of the show, or kind of throughout it trickles out what's exactly happened to him. He's forced to return to and try to make the best of his current living conditions while he's trying to escape this crazy country estate again.
And, of course, everybody in the family is eager to help him with his problems, whether he wants them to or not. And most of the time, he doesn't want the help.
Well, you know, I watched this thing a couple times, and I absolutely just cracked up at a couple of places in this thing, especially the funeral, which is extremely funny, and their outside living patio with the lawn chairs and
one umbrella,
and the portable toilet,
and the portable toilet
that's used as a cooler for the Mountain Dew.
It's a medical toilet.
Yeah, it's a portable medical toilet.
One of our characters, she doesn't do her day without her dew.
Yeah,
right. So she keeps her Mountain Dew cool right there.
In the portable toilet.
Well, it's got multiple uses, and that's the kind of family this is. They make the best use out of everything that's there in front of them, because fancy does not matter. It needs to be usable. And so a portable toilet, if you're not going to use it for its original purpose, it's great to sit on and great to keep your Mountain Dew cold.
So I got to ask, Jillian, I mean, I know you were in the South, but you don't really have the Southern twang. Mark, it's all hardcore. Over
all
you.
All over me.
So really, where did this whole concept come from? Was it from you or?
It's from both.
It's a combination. So Jillian covers hers up, but she grew up in Peachtree City, Georgia, y'all. And that is about as Southern as where I'm from. So it's definitely the both of us.
Peachtree City is a different Southern. I mean,
she was fancier than me. She grew up in suburbs. She grew up in houses without wheels.
I did. It was a little different. But we both, Mark and I, grew up and lived the South and have a love for it and an appreciation. And we both had mamaws. We both had, you know, the Southern moms. And we have stories that we combine. There's certain parts of Amber that are experiences I had that and experiences that his family had that we put together. But it's not one person and one thing in a direct correlation.
I'm going to tell a story on Jillian. Sorry. Yes, I am. So Amber was in the beauty contest when Jillian has got a picture that is one of my favorite pictures of her. She was in this beauty contest when she was a little girl, and she was sponsored by, and she's got this sash that says, sponsored by Bun, Termite, and Pest Control. That's a true story.
Oh, it isn't. Thank you, Mark. It is a true story.
Bun, Termite, and Pest Control.
Yes. I was trying to be Miss Little Miss Pride of Fayette County.
Trying to be a Little Miss Bun.
Exactly.
Oh, my.
So we, Mark and I, have known each other since college. Mm-hmm. We met at Florida State, and we're roommates out here in our early 20s, and we're just past early 20s now.
Yes, just past. Yes.
But then we got together and started writing probably about, 12 years ago, we started really writing together. When did you move back?
Was it?
I've been back 13 years.
Actually, yes, because before this project, we worked on another project together, mm-hmm. And we helped write the script for that as well. It was for a scripted show. It was a travel show, but we had worked on that project together, and then
unscripted show.
Yeah. But we both were at a place in life where we wanted to do something really creative, and I think it was you that actually said, "Hey, do you want to write something together?" And Jillian had done a lot of writing for Acme Comedy. She won awards several times as like top writer for, you know, for one of the companies. I'd written for Disney, and she said, "Do you want to get together and write something?" And we got together and we talked about it and started formulating the characters and the plot and where
formulating
things
were gonna go. Formulating's a new word. It's a Southern word.
Formulating. I learned that word.
Is that something you feed babies?
Yes.
Okay. Only if they're lucky.
through your breasties.
Yes.
Formulating.
Your breastiaties.
Yes.
So we were having fun. We were really having a good time, and we were doing it just as a creative lark, just to have a good time.
Sure.
But as we were going through it, we realized we had something really good, so we got a bunch of people together for a reading who started laughing and said, "You guys have got something really good here." So we did a second reading, and we expanded it, and we actually brought in some friends who were writers and producers, and they said, "This is really good. You should submit to some writing competitions to see how well you do." And we did, and we got semifinalists and won.
And LA Comedy Shorts.
LA Comedy Shorts. And what else? And we got
an honorable mention in another writing. So we didn't win, but it was good enough that we were getting some
getting notice.
And it inspired us to continue writing. I will say, when Mark just mentioned we got together and wrote the first time around, we literally, it started out as a Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
It started out, the Jones family, and it started around this crazy Christmas. Paul was going through the same stuff, but it was all happening around Christmas and the funny pageant. And that will, we have written our 13-episode arc. We've written the log lines for it, and we will fill it out. But it started out as a five-minute kind of funny about the Christmas, and that's what we had our friends read. And then the second time it was more, you know, the 30-minute, we cast it and then had the producers and other writers come in and be a more of an industry read.
Well, I remember when we were doing our show, and your Sundays, I think it was, you were always
writing,
getting together
with
Mark. We're doing a writing today, and you were always doing this. So it took a long time to get this whole thing together.
Yeah.
So f- from the beginning, when you first formulated the concept, and I guess would be about the time when you had this 5-minute part piece together, mm-hmm. till you actually got it produced and put on film, how long did that take?
Well, 8 years.
I was going to say it was about 8 years, yeah. from the time of the first time we sat down and we wrote, all the way through raising the money for the Indiegogo campaign to mm-hmm. shoot this proof of concept. Really, it's what it is—a proof of concept pilot. It took about 8 years, and we finished it a year ago.
And right? Part of it is we put it in a drawer. We did the good old Woody Allen, oh my God, we had this in a drawer thing, you know. And we were staring at each other, and we were improvising and creating other. We were writing reality show pitches together. We started going mm-hmm. into Oprah Network and all that, and pitching reality shows that we had come up with. And then we were like, wait, we really want to continue with the creative. We pulled Welcome to Our Mansion back out, and that's when we did the industry read and all that.
Yeah, we almost got off track. What had happened was we started partnering with some producers who have gone on to do some really wonderful things, and they said, would you guys write up some treatments for us? And so we were doing that for a little while, which was great. But then at a certain point, it's like, wait a minute, where's our baby? It's stuck in a drawer somewhere. And, you know, it's almost like an
damn,
abortion.
We have to feed the baby.
We have to formulate it.
Yes. Pull out your
breast. The breastulate.
The breastulation.
We have to breastulate our baby.
Yes.
So, I realize I prefer the scripted over reality. That's just something I enjoyed more.
My friend Peter Sirico, he has a ranch out in Agua Dulce, and he's an actor, and he's done all this stuff. And you know, mm-hmm. They filmed Top Gun or Top Shot out at his ranch. And he goes, one thing about reality shows, they're not.
No, they're scripted.
They're scripted, yeah. And that's what he says. If you think that these aren't scripted, you are absolutely wrong.
And if they're not exactly line by line, they're scripted as in, we want this scene, we want this to
right.
happen. It's dictated.
Right.
And then it's edited to give us... That's why you'll see people, they're like, I didn't say that to that line. You know, you get manipulated.
Yeah. The power of editing.
Yes.
As we found out. Yes.
Yeah, how much editing is storytelling as well.
So you wanted to fund this thing. You going back a minute, you mm-hmm. went to Indiegogo and actually started...
We became hookers.
Excellent, excellent. So what was that process like, and what do you recommend it for people?
It was a lot of work, and I would say it's absolutely worth it if you've got something you're passionate about that you love and you want to get out there, and nobody's knocking on your door and saying, hey, here's $1 million to do it the way that a student... That, oh,
hold on.
Where
dollars.
Are you? Where were you?
We come back to this reality.
I was going to open the door.
Come to the light, Carolyn.
We had friends who were doing projects and raising money, and we were seeing them do it. And I do remember one day I called Jillian. I said, Jillian, why don't we do this ourselves? So, you know, we if I'm okay to say this, and you kick me if I'm not.
Well, it's too late now.
So through Jillian's contacts, we actually were read by a major studio mm-hmm. That gave us very positive feedback. And this was not even the final script. So sure. Very positive feedback, enough for us to go, this is good. This is good enough that it should at least...
Let's
rewrite it. So we did.
Again.
It should be a proof of concept pilot. We should get it at least to that point. So we raised the money. Is it work? It is a hell of a lot of work. Like, you've got to...
The campaign is work.
You don't just put it on a website and then the money rolls
some
in.
Some people do, but Mark and I worked, 3 months on our campaign before we went live?
Before we went live, we worked for 3 months just planning how we were going to do it, shooting the video, re-editing the video, coming up with the context. I mean, we had a plan in place. So we took that campaign. And in fact, I think an Indiegogo campaign is a good precursor to how a project's going to go. If you can make an Indiegogo campaign successful, you can make your project successful, because mm-hmm. that's basically the mini.
Did you hit your goal? I don't know.
We did.
We went a little over, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like by $400.
Yeah. Hey, that's all. That still matters.
Yeah.
Hey, I have to spend some of our ad money, so... If you'll give me about 30 seconds.
And, yeah.
Of course.
Turn it up, Slick.
Hey, I'm going for it right now. Hey, Target Freight Management and Target Freight Truckload is a division of Target Freight Management and, quite honestly, the finest truckload company in the United States. If you're looking for a reputable freight company for full truckloads that get you 100% of the time, Call Target Freight, TFM Truckload. Call them today at 1-844-653-7789. And as Bobby Jean says, get your pencil and write it down. 844-653-7789.
You'd always throw that at me, and I'm not ready.
Tell them you heard it on the writer's block, and they'll have something a little extra special for you. And I got to tell you, I do use them, and they're a good company. Okay, we're gonna. You know what? We're going to go back to Paul, and we're going to listen to a little, hey, Paul.
Okay. Hey, Paul.
It's been a while.
It sure has, Sam. I don't think I've seen you since that time you and Daddy got drunk and peed on the Christmas tree.
Shit, we had to do something. Sadie lit the damn thing on fire with her cigarette.
One of my favorite lines in the whole movie.
That's Paul, our protagonist, per se, I guess.
Yes.
That protagonist thing varies, but he's our protagonist. And he's talking to their family, the town lawyer, and Buddy's best friend, Buddy, is the dad who's passed, Sam. And that's the first time they've seen each other in a couple of years. So.
Yeah, and it gives you a good idea of what these characters are. I mean, you get lines like the mother goes to her little girl, and she says, baby, have you been playing with my lighter again? Because you can't find
yes,
it.
Yes, Mama.
Well, here, light my cigarette for me.
Yeah.
And then she walks away and says, now don't lose it.
You know what I mean? She's you more, can hold on to it.
Yeah, you can hold on to it. And the little girl's 7 years old.
Right.
So these are the kind of characters they are. They're not bad people. There's just a sort of wonderful ignorance that's going on.
Yeah.
And Paul has returned into this ignorance. And, you know, when you watch it, you go, wow, how can he be in this place and not go crazy? But as you watch it, you realize that he's the craziest one
yeah.
of all.
He's been out there and just messed it all up.
But he's also educated. I mean, he's a therapist, correct?
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Well, he was a therapist.
Yeah, what do we say?
I didn't do it.
Yeah, I did. Unorthodox methods, meaning he's done role playing. There's a lot of times where he's dressed as people's grandmother and berated them, and like doing all sorts of things in the office and smoking pot in the office. He's kind of new agey, so he's gotten himself into some trouble, and that's what sends him home because he's now across all the entertainment news because of Meredith Van Houten, the pantyhose heiress.
Yes, we have some. All the characters are very interesting. Maybe that would be a good thing. So the characters that you meet, obviously, you know, Paul is the protagonist.
Right.
He's been away from his home for a very long time. He is more sophisticated. He is educated, but he's more screwed up than anybody. At the very top of the family, the most loving one is Rosie, his mama. Mm-hmm. And she loves everybody, and she eats everything in sight. Her mother, Mamaw,
yeah.
does tote a shotgun, and she is spitting snuff all the time.
Right. She carries that little mason jar around.
That's right.
It looks like chocolate milk, but it's snuff.
Yeah, it's pretty. It is.
When we were getting ready to shoot, Jillian, it was so funny because we were really trying to get the right looks.
So our actress wouldn't have to snuff. Around,
yeah, right,
you know?
Right.
Because
right.
she said, you know, please don't make me do the tobacco. So we tried raisins. We tried.
No, we means you.
Me. Jillian picked me out. She picked me out. She's like, Mark, try that.
Try that. What's your next medium, Mark? Taped it all. I got it.
And then, of course, Paul has his siblings. Mm-hmm. The second oldest is Betty.
Betty is Betty's the fix-it. She's kind of the glue that holds it together there. She, as I said, she doesn't do her day without her do.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves to read Harlequin romances. And she doesn't like to be bothered too much. But she's a real matter-of-fact kind of gal.
And then she's got her little sister, Sadie. And Sadie
fireball.
Is a spitfire. Yeah, she's
yes,
a fireball.
Yes, she is.
Sadie is the one who stands there at the grave and says, Daddy, I better get that brass bed, Daddy,
yeah.
and then throws a cigarette after him.
Right. You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's definitely pissed off.
All the time.
Yeah.
She's everybody's doing her wrong.
Right. Everybody owes her. Life owes
that's
her.
Right. Right.
Yes.
That's right.
And she's kind of hot. She's trashy hot.
Yeah, trashy hot.
That's a real – that exactly right. Trashy hot.
Trashy hot, yeah. And she has a daughter.
She has a daughter, Amber, who lights her cigarettes for her.
Right.
But Amber loves to clog. She's sweet. She's not all that smart.
No,
she's kind of a blank stare kind of gal, but very sweet. And she's loves to clog and go help people.
And unlike the rest of the family, it's very obvious that she is of mixed race origin.
Right.
We don't know what race. No one knows because they say that Sadie says that there is no daddy. She says she got pregnant from a toilet seat.
Yeah. And the thing is
it's prevalent in the South.
Right. I know. Yeah, it's a good sages.
And that's what we want to be very It took us a long time how we were going to handle that, because we wanted to include that and have some have Amber be have some ethnicity to her, but without it being a horribly racist thing that the mm-hmm. whole family loves her. They protect her over it, and in turn, there's a little bit of racism. You know what I mean? Because of that, but it's not intentional. It's just to show that that's there, but we didn't want to make it the whole thing. We didn't want to be ignorant to it, but the family does, you'll see them want to jump and protect her.
Oh, you can tell they all love her. Yes. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, she's definitely a part of the family.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
there's the
no malice. The there's no malice in it at all.
Right.
They just don't want her to feel like she's different. And so that's part of the funny, is that she doesn't realize she's any different because they've never treated her any different.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always just said, you know, baby, you are a miracle. You're our miracle baby.
Our miracle baby from a toilet seat. But then, but Mama is probably the one that has the most, you know, she's calls every, you know, Mexican, everybody has a race.
Yes.
You know,
she's
our gal who does that. But again, is the one that's going to stand up and defend anyone first.
Yeah.
She'll take that shotgun to anybody who's messing with her people.
And part of the reason, when you don't see this in the pilot, but we have worked it into the first season arc, is Mamaw, the reason that she's concerned about it is her best customers are the Mexicans that live just down the way. And she has got a helper who is the person who's Mexican who helps bring in all of the other people. So
what's her business though?
She's running the moonshine still.
Of course she is.
She's running the moonshine still.
And the underneath her little shack.
So. Yes. And so what you're going to see is how close she is with that community. So what you originally looks like racism, you actually realize it's
ignorance.
Ignorance. It's
uh-huh.
ignorance
mm-hmm.
that underneath the ignorance is a great deal of love.
Do you guys like? Do you sit around and say, okay, what kind of crap can I throw in here now?
We did a lot. Mark and I'm going to tell them, when we first started, I remember sitting at our kitchen, at my dining room table, and we're like, let's just improvise these two characters. So we get, and I'd be Amber, and he'd be Betty, or he'd be Rosie, and we just sit there and talk as those characters and fall over, because at some point there'd be a silence and somebody'd say something. We're like, write that down, you know. So yeah, we improvise a lot, which sometimes they say, I know with writing sketch, they're like, don't improvise it. You go off in tandems or whatever. I was like, throw that rule out. Let's just play with it. And Mark and I are both actors by trade as well, and we had a great time with it. And I think it did help us. And I've written my solo shows that way. I've gotten up on my feet and just start talking in character. And it's amazing what shit flies out of your mouth.
Yeah. Like that. Like that. Well, you know,
like I said, you never know what they're going to say when you come in here.
Beep! Flies out of their mouth.
You had a clip on YouTube, which I know is not there any longer.
Yeah,
but
we're
it was
trying to be somewhat classy.
Right. But
no.
But what it was you and Mark playing two characters.
Dwight and Tangy.
Right. And you were actually talking about the show, the upcoming show. But it almost looked like you were doing that kind of improvisation, that you were just kind of throwing stuff out there.
Oh, we were, Russ.
Yeah.
And Russ, and so let me tell you.
There was nothing rehearsed.
There was nothing rehearsed. And let me tell you where that came from. Is when Jillian and I were first doing our Indiegogo campaign,
mm-hmm.
we set up the cameras on a day when, remember, the sound was no good. But we got some really, we did it the professional way. We were like Mark and Jillian as the writer, creator, producer types.
Mm-hmm.
And then we said, okay, now let's change into
that really took some acting, didn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
That was the hardest part, trying to behave. Ourselves.
Especially for her, because yeah. she gets gassy.
So. And I love my bra strap showing.
Yeah. So then we dress as the mobile home us.
Right.
And we shot that whole thing, and Jillian said, no one ever needs to see that. Well, I said, Jillian, I'm going to cut this together sometime and show it to you. And on some plane trip, I came back, and I showed it to her, and I go, Jillian, this is kind of funny. So I said, you know, when we're promoting the show, why don't we do this?
Let like, them
right.
do it, yeah.
yeah, just let these characters do it. And so then we started pulling stuff together and cutting it together, and they became the two biggest fans of Welcome to Our Mansion. And they were less educated than the family in Welcome to Our Mansion.
Yeah. We did. There's a lot. We had a great time doing them. We they're not live in color yet, but I think because we haven't delved into past episode two of the of Dwight and Tangy. Tangy did make it to France this summer. She's in front of the Eiffel Tower at certain points. That we will cut together something yes. sometime.
Let me do another ad, and then we'll get back to you guys. If you're an LTL shipper, chances are you're looking for a great company to help move your freight. Look no further. Target Freight Management is and should be your company of choice. Their customized transportation management system is just a ticket to get your freight moving the way you want to move it. Call Target Freight Management today at 1-888-653-1323. or go to www.targetfmi.com. You won't be sorry. And I wasn't sorry.
Me
and, but I'm right now. I'm starting to be a little sorry.
Oh, no.
No, I'm glad you guys. I'm glad you guys are here. It's so much fun. Let's do another little clip from you.
Let me ask you, what would you do if you were me?
You mean if I have no money or home, and everybody on TV was saying mean things about me?
Sure. Yeah.
I just want to say I want to give a shout out to our actors.
Yes.
What
oh, they were marvelous.
Lovely. And yes. we could not have been more excited to have met such a wonderful, talented pool of actors through the auditions. Because Mark and I, we produced, we directed, and we wrote. And
we have a call.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
Please don't
you guys get the Cupid doll.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I'm so nervous.
Hi, you're on the writer's block. Who are we speaking to? Bobby!
Hey, it's Bobby Bell. How are you all tonight?
Well, we're having Bobby. A ball. Wish you were here.
Well, we're having a ball here. Wish you were here.
Well, say hi to Jillian and Mark.
Hi, Jillian and Mark. Are you having a good time?
We're having a great time, Bobby.
See?
I can't wait to listen to the show.
Oh well, I mean, yeah, we can't wait to play it for you.
Bobby, I love your laugh. Oh, my God.
Let me ask one question. What is the most amazing thing that has happened in your life since the launch of your YouTube series?
The most amazing thing.
This show.
Good answer, Mark.
I'm gonna answer it. You know, Bobby, it's a great question. Jillian and I were really, you know, we knew we'd get support from friends and family, and we knew everyone would react differently to the project. But we were really in a great position. Scott Francisco is the music editor for the HBO series Girls.
And librarians.
Mm-hmm. And he contacted us and said, you know, I really like this project a lot. And he said, I would like to do more of the composing work, because he's working as a music editor on these shows. And he said, I would really like to, you know, score your trailer for you. So we were like, that's fantastic. So, I mean, this out of the, like someone, like a really high-level professional saying, listen, I will give my time and talent for free, because we had no more money at that point, for free to make this project be as good as it can be. And so that was also the inspiration for what comes next, which is for us to cut this to 24 minutes and let Scott Francisco score the entire project.
Oh, my gosh. That is so exciting. I love to hear those stories, because it is great energy for all us dreamers out there when we see that kind of success happen, because you put it out there.
Yeah, it's great. And on top of that, Scott's kind of like us. He's a little
insane.
Got an insane sense of humor. Yeah. He got us. So the music he created was really quirky and wonderful. And like when he first sent stuff over, Jillian and I listened, and I was like, I like everything he's sending.
Yeah, he sent us about, he listened to us, he took his time, and we threw so much stuff. We're like, this, but we want this flavor and this, and all within a minute trailer, and he got it. And we were so thrilled, and we just want to give a big plug to Scott Francisco,
yes.
He needs to be working as a composer as well as what he's doing. He's really talented.
Yeah. Well, what fun. I'm so glad I had a chance to talk to you and hear your voices.
You.
And I'm so sorry I'm not there, but I'm there in spirit.
Yay.
Thank you. That was sweet of you to call. Thank you.
Well, say hi to my friend Jim Jones, would you?
I will. You have a great rest of your evening.
You too, Bobby.
Writer's Block team.
Good night, Bobby.
Good night.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was sweet of her. So, She's not doing her. She's curating music right now, right? I mean, she's doing.
She has. They have a concert series, and it's called the Out West Concert Series, and the fourth Thursday of every month, starting January, and it runs through, I think October. October, yeah, because November and then Christmas time. Mm-hmm. They bring in country and Western singers.
That's how you got stuck with Russ, right?
No. I, you know,
no. That's telling the truth.
The truth is, I asked Russ. to fill in on the four Thursdays because, and he says, well, you know what? I don't know anything about writing. I said, that's what makes you a great interviewer.
Yeah, exactly. He's a great interview no matter what.
He really is. And you know, he's got that deep radio voice.
Yeah. He does.
He's doing ugly things at us right now.
I know he is. Well, you know, this is why it's radio. I mean, we could sit in here nude and nobody would know it.
Oh,
well,
God.
I'm nude right now.
So. Well, I would know it. Yeah, Mark's already naked.
That's really sad.
He got naked over the video channel across the way.
In our hearts, we're running naked all day.
That's right.
But we were talking about our actors.
Right, yes.
How much we appreciate.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
Those crazy ones that made it happen. But we went on LA casting, but we put the notice out in Central Florida. We wanted to cast there. We wanted people who understood the feel, have lived it, understand. When we were shooting it, we didn't do any makeup except what they wanted. We wanted it to look exactly like they'd look in there, and we shot in real mobile homes. We didn't do on set. Everything was on location. But the actors we got, the talent pool in Central Florida, it is an amazing, because you have Disney, you have Full
Universal.
Sail, you have Universal, you have the theater community.
The
is
theater community.
Beautiful theater. What you think of community theater, it's not that. Their community theater is like professional theater.
Yes, yes.
Really, and Mark grew up in that area.
I did. I was so fortunate.
Very fortunate.
When Jillian had asked me, she goes, well, we find the talent there. First of all, we had a kick-ass casting director, mm-hmm. Eileen Schofield.
Really?
Eileen
good.
Schofield was amazing. I would say she really did like cast about 80% of it, because everybody, she said, you know who'd make a great Rosie?
You need to look at so and so.
You need to look at so and so. And she was on the money with everybody. So a lot of that great talent we found through her, what we didn't find through LA casting and different submission tapes. We had two other people on the ground. We had Heidi Ingram as our script supervisor, and we had Tammy Cerebrin, who is our unit production manager. And those three women were really on the ground for us.
We called them our sassies.
Our sassies, yeah. Jillian gave them that nickname, you can imagine. She's like, our three sassies.
Our three sassies.
And then they got us people, more than half of them were originally from Polk County. So we had, you know, Timothy Williams, who's doing tons of great work down there
now.
He's Paul. Mary T. Albright, who the whole community respects as Mamaw. And we could not have found a better Rosie. I mean, Debbie Morgan, you just want to love up on her. And, of course, two of the characters we didn't mention, and I realize we need to. Burl, played by Will Green, who went to high school with me.
No kidding.
Oh, get out of here, really? Yeah.
And Will had just won Best Actor at one of the local theaters. He had just won that award the past year, and he was not who we were thinking of for Burl. We wanted Burl to be a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
We were not thinking quite his physical type. But when he said that line, I know a guy who's born three balls and no butthole. When he said that line, we were like, that's Burl. He says it like Burl.
We brought the tape home, and we kind of went through it, and then we were like, pull up Will again. And
yeah.
We just kept pulling him up. And then
the other one.
Wonderful person.
We got to say Jeff. I mean.
Jeff. Oh.
Jeff is with a film company that's in, are they in Atlanta?
They're north of there. They're north, but they do beautiful, beautiful films.
Beautiful work. They have one coming out called Down and Yonder. And Jeff James came from
from the casting, though. The LA
casting.
Actors Access, yeah.
But he came down from Atlanta for two weekends to play the part of the little brother, Scott. And he was so... Jillian kept saying, God, look at his eyes. She's like, and it's true. Whenever you look at him, you see everything going on in his eyes. And, I mean, you just can't... it's hard to pay enough money to find somebody like that where he felt everything. You could see it in his eyes. He's just one of those beautiful actors, and the work he's doing is amazing. So we were really
fortunate. And Amber, the little girl, Takaya, everybody did such
adorable.
Great work.
I thought when she did her little tap dancing thing,
and then she came in and did it
double speed.
Yes.
And she was done, and I thought, oh, this poor little girl's going to have a heart attack. And then I thought, no, they can't do that to her in the show. And I thought, yeah, Jillian could.
Yes.
No.
And I would like to say that the clogging consultant on that was Miss Jillian Boyd.
You are welcome.
I was not aware that you could clog, Jillian.
Well,
neither was she.
Yeah.
I just remember taking tap, and the tap teacher going, "Do not clog in here."
Well, and anybody knows Jillian always knows it.
Superstar.
She does it. Yes. Oh, very good.
But, so, you know, lovely cast. So, a big shout out to cast and crew. We had our Russell, our cinematographer.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm. Yes. who by the way, came with his Steadicam ready to do it.
We asked of him. Oh, my God.
Bless his heart, because Jillian and I were very clear about the shooting style that we wanted, because we'd been living with this so long as writers, seeing it and hearing it in our heads, and we wanted this style that looked that shaky, dirty. We
right.
wanted it mm-hmm. to look dirty and mm-hmm. sweaty.
Not Blair Witch, where you're sick, though.
No.
No, oh, yeah.
But we didn't want pretty, and he had that Steadicam, and he was giving us beautiful shots, and we were like, it's too pretty. It's too nice.
Right.
So he had to hold that camera. The poor guy, we sent him for a massage because, I mean, yeah. he was holding that camera and doing this amazing work and doing those long, long-ass scenes mm-hmm. where there was no break. Like, he would go through a three-minute scene, and then he'd be like, ah, yeah. you know. So, I mean, we asked a lot of people, and they delivered.
Oh, good.
We were fortunate.
You know, I have to say that that sitting in here listening to you guys talk, I knew, peel back the layers, there was somebody from Florida in this room.
Well, he's from Florida, and for some reason, I ended up at Florida State, which I love, because I have a wonderful cast of characters I met there.
She covers it up with, you know, because she doesn't sound quite as country as I do, but this girl is like, she is, her heart is pure white trash.
Well, not only that, but I would say the stuff that I've written is so flavored by my childhood, because I had a great childhood there in Georgia. I had so much fun and playing, and it was just a really fun time for me. And the stuff that I write is flavored by that. I love writing in that 10-year-old girl voice, you know, Southern roller skating, all that stuff. It's all how I grew up. So we are a good match for each other.
Well, in the time we have left, why don't you guys give us your information, where to get in touch with you if somebody wants to get in touch with you.
And also where they can watch the first episode.
Where they can watch on the YouTube. So, Jillian, we'll go with you.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Okay.
You should be.
You can reach us at, if you want to email us, you can reach us at housesonwheelsproductions@gmail.com. That's right, right?
That's correct.
And then if you want to watch, which we would love it, head over to our YouTube channel, put in Houses on Wheels Productions, and it will come up, our 34-minute just with credits or whatever, and watch Welcome to Our Mansion. Check it out and get a good feel from all that we've been talking about.
And if you forget that title, you can always just put in Welcome to Our Mansion. The trailer is there. It's a minute and a half.
That's where Scott Francisco's music, you'll hear that.
That's right. So you'll hear what it's going to be, and you'll also see the proof of concept pilot will also appear there. Also, do like us on Facebook. We're there at Welcome to Our Mansion. And also, if you would, subscribe to the channel and follow us.
And you can also hit our website. If you do Houses on Wheels Productions or Welcome to Our Mansion.
Both. They both will go. Houses on Wheels Productions and Welcome to Our Mansion. And the big thing is...
The big thing
is if anybody... Bigger in the house.
I know. On wheels.
If anybody out there is listening that is connected to streaming platforms, networks, studios, and you want a wonderful, offbeat, quirky comedy, half-hour comedy that we are passionate about, then please do get in touch with us.
Well, I'll attest to it. It's funny. It is funny.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
You can give me the $20 later.
Thank God, I thought
they only
50.
Gave me 10.
Well, it's because you're cheap.
A quarter.
Jelly has known you longer.
Yeah, true.
We're such hookers.
Is there anything else that we needed to say?
I mean, we've been pitching it around, but we're wanting to get in as many rooms as we
That's
can.
Hey, right. go That's for right. it.
And we're having a great time and having new people discovered each time you see new viewers. It's really been a lot of fun.
Russ, you had a question, I remember, and you said, I'm going to wait till we're on air.
That's right, you did.
And so now you put me on the spot, and I have no clue what it was.
Oh, brain fart.
Were you going to ask where do we see it? I think that's what you were – and look at me priming you now.
Is that the answer? Is that what you want to answer? That's what Mark wants to tell you where our
Let me
are.
Put some words in your
Please
mouth.
Please do. Hey, so tell me, Mark. All. Mark, so where do we see it?
Well, we ideally...
So smart with your questions.
You know, we use the word white trash, and I really should stop using it because they're
cut
not,
it out.
Yeah, cut it out.
Except when you refer to Gemini, then it's
exactly.
Okay.
We are white
trash. Or Jillian. It's crazy country people. Let's call it that. Crazy country people. But we ideally would love to see it. It is. We are not. It's not a clean show. It's got a lot of wonderful, inappropriate moments, mm-hmm. which we plan on keeping.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Because as the first season arc keeps going, it gets a little worse and a little worse, and the end of the season ends worse than the beginning of the season is. Yes. So we ideally would see this on a Netflix, a Hulu, an
IFC.
Amazon. IFC.
We love that. We're watching what they're doing, and it's like, oh, my God.
HBO, mm-hmm. Showtime, but we could see it on a CMT. It could be mm-hmm. on a CMT.
The hardest thing is a network because we don't want to have to clean it up too much.
Yeah,
it would take away from really the heart of what it is.
Yeah, it really would.
That's right.
Those are our hopes.
We want these characters to stay true to what it is that we've created. So if they can still talk and do all the things that they do, because again, even though there's ugliness in it, the intention behind it is not ugly. But we want to be able to keep that dirty, gritty part of it going on, because that's part of what makes this place. It's Central Florida. Uh-huh. It's hot. It's sweaty. There's bugs. We didn't let them do their makeup. We were the cameraman, remember, and he was like, you know, she's got a lot of sweat on her upper lip. We're like,
great.
Good, shoot it. Mm. That's what we wanted. We wanted bugs and sweat.
Well, you got it. In fact, I was sweating just watching it. Hey, guys, thanks for coming in and visiting with us tonight.
Thank you.
I loved it.
I hope you got out to, you got out nationwide now.
So yes, thank you.
We win.
Worldwide.
Thank you.
Here at good old LA Talk Radio, we are international.
Good, good, good.
And the writer's block is international. And Russ, as always, it's so good to see you.
And it's so good to be seen.
I know. And I'm so glad that you no longer are having problems with Ventura County.
Thank you.
So, and it's just, I mean, you guys are great.
Thank you.
Feel free to come back anytime you want.
As we keep going, please
have us back when we're ready to tell you what it's airing on.
Get a hold of the bookie and she'll get you booked.
Before they get too big for us.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
We'll always come back and see
and
you
keep,
guys.
Keep us in the know of what your next novels are.
I will.
Jim. Yeah.
I will. I just finished one.
Excellent.
Called The Return. Ooh. Everybody who likes to read Westerns that are a little eerie, The Return is the one. We'll be back next Thursday night, 8 o'clock, with Bobby Jean Bell. And next week's guest is a literary agent, Jeannie Loicono. She has an agency in Texas, and we'll be talking to her live, on the phone. And she can give us some ideas about how to get an agent and what to do if you don't already know how to do it. So with that said, good night. Thank you for joining us, and have a good evening.